Don?
Well, good day. Yeah, how are you?
Yeah, good. How are you?
Are you here? Okay, yes.
Yeah, your line's breaking up a bit, but yeah, you're coming through.
Now, since we last talked, I've had quite a lot of conversations with people of all ages who are all part of the working class, and I'd like to reflect on some of those and draw some pointers of things for us to think about for those of us who are of a left-wing and socialist and feminist and ecological bent. The big deal, I think, is that in the working class, there's actually a lot of very casual talking going on about what's going on in the world. That's the big question. And everyone's upset. They're worried and they're confused and somewhat mystified. They want to understand it and they're not getting the explanation that makes sense to them. They want something more coherent. They, in effect, they're describing, and quite correctly, without any serious political economy education or anything like that, they've latched on to the idea that where we're heading for, we're in a dystopia and heading into one that's going to get worse.
And what reflections have you got for us?
So having described that, I've been thinking a lot about how we talk about these things. And the first thing is to try and develop an explanation of how all the different things that working class people are worried about, how they knit together. And the second thing is for us to cut by about our half our dominant tendency to complain and describe the developing dystopia and replace that with talking about our alternatives. There's too much whining and whinging and complaining about what is wrong. We need to become more powerful advocates of the various elements of the alternative, the idea that there is a people's alternative, and then what the ingredients of that might be.
So it sounds like in the conversations you've been having, you've been picking up on quite a few, or kind of a sense of discontent in the wider Australian population. Can you explain to us why, what you think people are picking up on?
Well, they're picking up on the truth, which is that, in fact, there is a polycrisis. We live in an age of crisis, and that's what they're feeling. And the age of crisis is dominated by, say, five or six probably really big ones that interact with each other to do with the continuing stagnation and tendency to recession of the economy, interaction with the crisis in nature, which is, of course, led by the character of the climate heating, but also in human relations. People worry that, for example, when 50% plus one of the population, more than that when you include children, cannot live private and public lives except with a sense of danger and of risk. That is a crisis. That is a profound crisis in human relations. And there are other aspects to that that I haven't got time to go into. Everyone talks about their collapse of confidence in parliamentary democracy and civil rights. I could go on.
I mean, I did a class this week at university on politics, and we went through the various way that that politics works in this country. It was amazing to me that probably 80% of the students didn't know bicameral houses, senators, how people were elected. Really, no one knew. It was pretty crazy.
Which is obviously not their fault. It's
not their fault. No, of course.
Not to suggest you were saying that, Toby, but I think it's worth pointing out that I think Australia has a uniquely terrible civics curriculum, and there's clearly nowhere near enough education around socialising Australians interviewing themselves as political agents.
Well, I think that's true, absolutely true. And I think that However, the real question becomes with all of these things is what do we propose? Because what we propose is actually a credible... We know what would be credible from the point of view of the majority of people, with the working class. But let's stick to this point. The working class are latching onto the idea, the understanding, that everything is a mess. And the emergence of the Trumpian techno-punitive corporate complex in the USA, which is that, you know, hyper-technology, emerging technology, embedding itself inside all of the major divisions of capitalism, like the extractive industries, you know, manufacturing, the financial sector and energy, that is producing momentum for dystopia.
Well, sorry to interrupt you, but I think a consequence, or not a consequence really, because it's kind of the disease itself that's creating these symptoms. I think that what you're describing is creating an accelerated concentration of wealth in the hands of a tiny minority of people who are, you know, for instance, billionaires, and then end up having a disproportionate amount of political power. I've got a stat here that I think illustrates your point pretty well, Don. So the Australia Institute has just released data that says between 2009 and 19, the richest 10% of the population received 93% of the benefits of economic growth, while the rest of us had to share the remaining 7%. So maybe you could talk to us a little bit about how concentration of wealth and distribution of wealth throughout the economy, or lack thereof, has contributed to people feeling like something's not quite right.
Well, the origins of the maldistribution of incomes and wealth lie in the system of production being capitalist, having that characteristic, because that is the sphere in which the exploitation of people and nature begins. And the Australia Institute and others produce really good information about that. And you've just given a good example of it. But we've got to get, the important thing is for us to get to the cause of it, not the description of it. Well, excuse me, I don't mean not the description of it. We need the description of it, but we've got to get to the cause of it. And the cause of it lies in the way in which we go about, the way in which capitalism goes about producing the necessities and desirables of life in a way that enables the continual replenishment and restoration of nature. That's the essence of the problem. So our alternative starts with a deeper explanation, not just a description of inequality or any other problem. We must move on and help people to move on in their thinking.
I mean, that's a real problem with politics as it exists in Australia, is that there's only constant critique and the decisions are, we're not the Liberals or we're not Labor, and everyone just kind of has this flow-on effect, but no one's actually announcing a viable solution, just a sort of patching up of what's already broken.
Well, there's a sense in which that is very true and not true at the same time. There are actually hundreds of struggles going on against the hundreds of elements, if you like, of the emerging dystopia. Within those struggles, people are demanding an alternative. So the alternatives are there, but they are not stitched together. I think there are the possibilities emerging of an effort, and I think the Victorian Socialist is a good example of the possibility, the potential of stitching together into a common program our offensive response to the threat of continuing dystopia, worsening dystopia. Now, so that's what is lacking. That is where your point is correct. But the other half of it is that the ingredients, if you like, of a better society, that in which the working class majority their lives and the lives of their children and grandchildren are going to be improving. That the ingredients exist in the struggles that are happening, and we need to build those into a coherent program. And we can do that because there are examples of how we have tried to do that in the past. We've got a certain degree of momentum, but we haven't been able to follow through. So that's in a sense our project. And the, you know, things like elections that are coming up are actually very important in that context. The best possible, what would be the best result in the election from our point of view, from a working class point of view? That would be, if you like, an antidote, to use a rather trite phrase, but an antidote to the dystopia program of the present, and also the dystopian program that is even worse, that would come from a Dutton LNP.
Well, I think that's a good segue to thinking about some of those. You know, we've been talking quite a bit about some higher level ideas around what's going on in society and what people are picking up on. Looking at some of those kind of more pragmatic, approaches to trying to fix some of these problems, it would be really interesting to hear your thoughts on Labor's Future Made in Australia program, because obviously some people have been talking about Future Made in Australia is this kind of era-defining economic shift, I guess, in some ways away from neoliberalism. And then other people have talked about there being far too much opportunity for, or far too much engagement and involvement with the private sector and corporations. How does that fit into your view of the necessary next steps to try and get us out of this muddle?
Terrific question. The Future Made in Australia program is a perfect example of the inadequacy of what is being offered, but also the potential of it at the same time. This is a weird thing, because the Future Made in Australia program is correct in principle, but it's inadequate in size and in its lack of democratic character. It's inadequate because it's a piddling amount of money. That's the first thing. Let's go back to its purpose is to enable the regeneration, the renovation of Australian manufacturing with a particular focus on green technologies. That is an absolute requirement. A radical socialist government would want to be doing that as a matter of principle. We would have to. The dilemma of the Labor model is that although correct in concept and principle, it falls apart because of its piddling amount of money and its lack of enabling working class organisations, both community and union, to have some degree of democratic control over the various projects. So the prospects of green transition are excluded, which lie most powerfully in the knowledge and capacity of working class organisations, are excluded from the project. Now, that we therefore have to be advocates of what Labor conceptually is proposing, but also advocates of a socialist, feminist, ecological version of it,
mm-hmm.
that is democratic, that enables power. That's the alternative. So we describe the problem. We don't need as many words as we normally use, and I plead guilty to that as much as anybody. But we also elaborate our alternative. We must talk a lot more about what we say will work instead. And the essence of that is enabling the power of ordinary people, the potential of ordinary people, as working in working class organisations to determine their future.
I think that's a brilliant note to end on.
Yeah, Don, we'll have to get you back, but I reckon that's ripper.
Well, there's a lot more to come with that, and we should talk more regularly about it.
Of course. Well, absolutely. We've got 6 weeks of Annie being away. I'm sure we'll have you as a prime correspondent while she's out.
Well, I look forward to yarning any time you like, and g'day to all your listeners. I hope you're all going well, and look forward to talking with you all next time.
Beauty.
Thanks for chatting with us, Don.
All the best. Bye for now.